The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShellheadComics.com. Welcome back to the show, gang, and as always, welcome my wonderful and awesome co-host, my best friend, Dave Draper!
Yay!
Yay! We come to you this week, hot on the heels of Dave's first successful game night at his house.
Yes.
Which turned out very well.
Yeah, I was very pleased.
We got to play the Battlestar Galactica board game.
Which was fun.
Dave got to be the Admiral.
Which was fun.
Which
until I lost my nukes.
He was put in charge of nukes. He was very excited. And then halfway through the game, he lost said nukes.
I had to make a decision. I had to make a call, as good admirals do.
Yes.
I had to give up my nuke.
That game is pretty unique because there's the function of the fact that two players in the game are secretly Cylons. If you've never seen the show, the Cylons are the evil robots that are disguised as humans.
And in the new show, yeah, they look human.
Yeah. So they're actually up to two players that are Cylons. I was one of said Cylons.
You were.
Yeah. I was.
Well, it was interesting because they have two rounds of determining whether or not a player is a Cylon. And it's all done secretly. And we didn't actually have any Cylons in the group until the second round.
Yes, until the second round. Yeah. So it was pretty interesting. It was a fun game. It was pretty exciting. It's one of those games that took a long time to play.
It did take a long time to play.
Yes, but it was fun. I enjoyed myself.
Well, and that was, you know, I mean, obviously that was always kind of the idea behind game night, where these more complicated games, you know, it's not just, you know, Candyland or...
Yes.
It was, you know, these more complicated games that people, like, buy, and then they kind of, you know, never get to play because nobody ever wants to.
Nobody ever
gets
to play, yeah.
So that's sort of the idea behind that.
Yeah. It's good times.
It was fun. It was a good group.
It was a very good group. And we've got another one coming up...
The 30th
of July, so...
Yep.
People were asking on the fan group for us to, like, FaceTime it and stuff, and I'm like, oh man.
Yeah. Well, I can't Facebook thing it because apparently that's only on iPhones. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Facebook Live thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
From what I understand.
That sucks hardcore.
From what I understand.
Dave and I spent the evening tonight before we started recording. Our mutual friend Jay, who's a big Star Wars guy and a Joe guy and a toy guy, was at a garage sale locally here in town.
Last week.
The house, they had a bunch of, like, vintage figures and boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
And as Jay was leaving, because he bought a bunch of stuff, and as he was leaving, he saw in the trash cans...
They had a garbage can full of stuff they were going to throw out.
Yeah.
And it was all, like, accessories and parts and broken stuff and...
So Jay was like, what are you guys doing with all this stuff? And I guess they were like, oh, we're just throwing it away.
Yeah.
Jay was like, can I have it? And I guess they were like, yeah, absolutely, go ahead, take it. By all means. So he brought pretty much all of it over to Dave's today. He took some of it back home with him. And Dave and I spent a good chunk of the evening sorting through a lot of this stuff and finding stuff that was...
Finding some rare bits and pieces.
Yeah, surprisingly.
It's been gone over three times now today. Once with me and Jay, once I kind of went by myself, and then you came over. So, yeah, I mean, there's been all kinds of, like, weird little treasures.
And I still haven't gone through everything. Like, I've kind of poked through. There's this big...
Yeah, the big box.
There's this big box of stuff that I kind of been...
You didn't really dump it out. You've just been kind of rooting
through it. Yeah, I've just kind of been rooting through it, looking for bits and pieces and parts, trying to figure out, you know, looking for more vintage stuff, like... Finding like Monsters in My Pocket figures, which I just pulled out another one.
Is that that or is that a...
That, I believe, is a Monster in My Pocket. That is not a muscle figure. But just a lot of random, like, bits and pieces and parts and chunks of stuff, which is kind of interesting to find in here and be like, oh.
Well, yeah, and the family basically had three sons, and I guess they kind of ran the gamut from the early 80s to late 80s.
Because we've
got... Everything from, well, there was Star Wars, there was G.I. Joe, there's Transformers,
through a lot of the 90s, too, because there's a bunch of Toy Biz, X-Men stuff in here.
Yes, Toy Biz, X-Men, and Turtle stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of interesting parts and pieces. I think Dave and I found some stuff, too, that we were like, I need this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I found this little bit of string, and I looked at Jay, and I said, do you know what that is? And he's like, no. And I'm like, that's Indiana Jones' whip from the vintage Kenner line. And I'm like, I'm taking that.
I think our goal here is to make Jay a little money, since even though he got this for free, there's a lot of stuff in here that Dave and I can't use.
Yeah.
That other people will need, like...
Well, and according to you, there's some really... There's some gems in there.
There are some Blackstar gems, Mara's headdress, which is a hard part to find.
Yeah.
Apparently. I know our buddy Brent Scarano looked forever for one of those, and I think he said it took him like a couple years to find one.
Hmm.
But there's that. There was...
Warlord's Cape.
Warlord's Cape. Ragoth's Weapon from Power Lords. Some cool little Thundercats goodies. There was a little real Ghostbusters slime ghost somewhere, but I think
Dave threw
him in the box somewhere.
No, he's in a little baggie. Marvel Ghostbusters, yeah.
I mean, some cool stuff. Some stuff that I'm going to give Jay some money for, because I need some of these parts, but I'm not just going to take them. I'm going to give him money for them.
Oh, I'm just taking stuff. I'm just putting them in my pocket.
And when he tells me no, I'm going to tell him, no, you take my money and you like it,
okay,
mister. But he took a bunch of stuff home that was like Star Wars and G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he had a couple bins that were specifically Star Wars and G.I. Joe. Now, they might have had other stuff in them.
And I told Dave...
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, I told Dave, you need to text him and tell him to bring that stuff back once he sorts through it, because I want to see what other parts are there, because we might be able to find even more of this stuff. Plus, this family apparently even had...
More stuff
they were going to
throw
out.
They were moving. So there was still stuff that they hadn't even broken out yet.
So Jay is has tried to be...
He's kind of given them his number and said, get back to me, and they haven't yet. So,
but it's only been a week.
Yeah, to be fair.
And I'll be honest, had I been Jay's spot, I would have just... I would have looked at Carrie and been like, we're buying everything. Like, what do you want for all of it? I would have given them like $100 and be like... Because that's probably more than they made at their garage sale.
Probably.
I'd have been like, here's $100. I'll take all of it. And whatever you find, I'll be back for. And because there's a huge like Red Wing chunk in here that is actually the large kid size Monstars from Silverhawks, his bat.
Okay.
So it's the kid size one that could clip on your arm and Monstar could actually ride on. There's like an arm from that. And I'm like, oh crap, where's the rest of it? Like there's chunks to the GoBots Command Center. There's a chunk to Thruster from GoBots. There was a whole bunch of like Jetfire armor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's sad, but there is a very, very dead Shockwave in here that is toast.
He is beyond hope.
Yeah, he's pretty beat up. Like the kids tore the arms off.
The kids literally tore his arms off.
Yeah, literally tore his arms off. So, yeah, it's kind of sad to see that and be like, oh, poor.
Yeah, it was the first thing I saw, and I was like, ooh, oh.
Yep, and he's one of those figures I do not own, and it kind of makes me sad because he's one that I would like to own, but probably will never own, just because he's so, so expensive, because he breaks easily.
Well, apparently.
Yeah. Although you can kind of make kind of a chunk of him without the guns, although his arms are in there.
His arms are in there. His head is MIA.
Yeah, his head is MIA at the moment. But yeah, his arms are in there. His the cannon cover was in there. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have anything powerful enough to fix that plastic, because once it breaks, you're up a creek, mister. Up a creek.
Okie doke.
But yeah, a lot of stuff, man. A lot of cool stuff, like a wing to one of the Crystar dragons. To one of the green crystal dragon, like a bunch of Masters of the Universe parts.
Jason the Wild Warrior
stuff. Jason the Wild Warriors. Remco Warlord, his cape was in there, which is notoriously hard to find complete as that cape, because it's just this plastic looking piece of, you know. So, yeah, a lot of cool chunks. Some chunks I don't quite know what they go to right yet. Some stuff that I've kind of posted on the action figure identification board, like what am I looking at here? Like stuff that I see that I'm like, this looks super familiar. I'm not sure what it is. So I think what I'm going to have to do is, of course, I'm probably come back over tomorrow or Friday with my Transformer stuff, because there's a bunch of Transformer parts that we don't quite know who goes to what yet.
Yeah.
That we're going to sort through. try to get sorted through for Jay and figure out. And then some of the stuff that I'm not sure about, we'll get a little a calendar or something, make a grid and post it and try to get some answers on some of these parts. Because some of this stuff just looks so familiar and I'm just not... Like, I'm holding a gun in my hand right now.
So many times he's been like, oh, I know what this is, and I don't know what it is.
And I cannot think of it for the life of me. So it's kind of cool. It was kind of cool to come over because Dave sent me a picture of boxes, and I sent him a message. It was like, don't you do it without me!
Well, yeah, Jay told me about it. He's like, you know, can we go through that sometime? I'm like, sure. And I mentioned that, you know, you were probably the guy to talk to.
Right.
And so he's like, okay, well, I'll bring it next time because today was truck day at Toys R Us. So right. We were both there. And so I was like, okay, you know, would you mind if I, like, took it over to Jason's tonight? Just because, you know, because I'll get it back to me. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he comes over here, and he opens up the trunk, and it's just boxes and boxes. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
Jason's going to have to come here. The mountain's going to have to come to Mohammed on this one.
And by all rights, I did.
Yeah. So I took a picture, and he's like, don't do anything. Yeah. I'm coming over.
There's another monster in my pocket.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. But...
Yeah, a little red guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just a bunch of fun stuff, man. Just some cool little bits and pieces, like a bunch of Terminator 2 stuff. You know, again, like they ran the gamut of just stuff, man.
And again, you're only seeing the stuff that got left behind. There was a bunch of Raiders of the Lost Ark stuff because they'd had the Well of Souls playset,
right?
Because they had a lot of chunks of that.
Yeah.
Like they had the whip. A lot of Star Wars, a lot of G.I. Joe. I mean, that stuff was in really...
terrible condition.
It was in rough shape. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, there was some Star Wars accessories, and it was kind of cool to look at that, but there weren't that many accessories for Star Wars. And then G.I. Joe, he had, like, a bag full of weapons and, you know, like Big Boa's punching bag.
Yeah.
He had two of those. And then they actually had the little hose somewhere, which I hopefully took with him.
Oh, cool.
For that, yeah, but like just, you know, all these guns and parts and things and
yeah, a lot of cool stuff, man.
Yeah,
I love seeing stuff like this because it makes me happy, especially when it's pretty much all vintage stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, it goes up to about mid-90s, I'd say.
So I mean, there's a lot of cool chunks in here, and of course we've got it strewn across Dave's table.
Yeah.
Like looking at it like, well, you know what some of this is. And yes, a lot of it is broke, but which that will be ultimately will be trash because the broke stuff you just can't fix. Like there's a bunch of broken Wind Raider wings.
Yeah.
You know, there's some broken, although I have a Fisto in here that his legs are broken that we can fix, but just a lot of broken stuff, but a lot of fun, cool stuff to go through. Transformer Action Masters figures, which are kind of cool. Which are kind of hard to find now because nobody bought them. And now people want them. Like, Transformer fans are like, I want those! And then you just can't find them anywhere.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool. New York Comic Con tickets apparently went on sale today.
Did they?
As of this recording. And apparently immediately sold out.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm just sad because I really like that show. And now it's become as bad as Comic Con.
Yep.
You could walk in 2008. You could walk in and buy passes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Day of.
And unfortunately, you cannot anymore.
Ugh.
Yeah. No longer. Yeah. San Diego Comic Con's coming up here.
Still don't know what the Star Wars.
Yeah, they still haven't. They have still talked about what the.
I don't think they've officially announced the Marvel stuff either. I mean, it's popped up. Pictures have popped up of the small set loose, and pictures have popped up of the box set.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, has Purple Man.
It does.
Did you know that the Wrath set has Purple Man in it?
Yes, I do. People are going to be very upset that that's a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Yeah, they're going to be miffed. There's a lot of good characters in that set, actually.
Yes, there are. And to not be able to...
It's like Spider-Man and a bunch of villains that, you know, people want.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, San Diego Comic Con is starting to be the, you know, just exclusive city, man.
Yeah, I know. Like an obscene amount of pops.
Yeah, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, actually.
Yeah, because there's one that I'm annoyed about. Can you guess?
No.
There's one that I'm sad that they're doing.
Well, we'll start from the reveal, exclusive reveal part 6.
Part 6, yeah.
Which was Game of Thrones 6-inch Mag the Mighty, which was kind of neat. Pete's Dragon 2-pack with the 6-inch Invisible Elliot and Pete. Suicide Squad Underwater Batman, which is kind of cool looking. Patriotic Snoopy. Olivia Moore from iZombie. The Dorbs version of Stan Lee, which is pretty Dorbs. And their Funko Book World of Pop Volume 5.
Now that's kind of... It hasn't been around long enough. That's a little full of yourself, guys.
Yeah, but you think about how many pops they've made?
I know, but still.
Part 7.
Oh, Part 7. We're going...
Yep, which was today's reveals. Dorb's X-Men 3-pack of Wolverine, Iceman, and Colossus. Star Wars The Force Awakens, Han Solo with Chewie Bowcaster, which is probably a bobblehead because they're not allowed to make.
Yeah.
Thumbs Up BB-8, which is kind of neat. Indy with the Idol, which I don't think that's the one Dave was upset about.
No.
Pop Rides Freddy and Freddy Funko and Red Buggy.
It's probably number 5 then.
All right, let's see. Funko, SDCC... 2016 exclusives. Let's see. Funko blog. Which is probably where the waves are actually being revealed. Oh. Puppy dog.
Yeah, she's fine.
Wave 8. Oh, Labyrinth is coming soon.
Yeah, I definitely want to get Ludo.
Yep, Jareth, Hoggle, Sarah, and Worm, Ludo, which is a 6-inch oversize. There's wave 7. Let's see. A lot of friggin' waves, dude.
Yeah.
Duck Dodgers is coming from Funko Pop, which will include Duck Dodgers and the Space Cadet, Marvin the Martian, and K-9, the dog, which is pretty awesome. Okay, here is wave 6. Cowboy Deadpool. Five Nights at Freddy Golden Freddy, the Banana Splits Bingo in his Dorbs ride. Let's see, Banana Splits Dorbs Snorky in his ride. Rock Candy Catwoman in her purple suit. Oh, the Flash 6-inch Gorilla Grodd.
Yes.
That's the one Dave's upset about.
I'm like, oh no.
Dorbs Game of Thrones 3-pack of the White Walker, Hound, and Joffrey. Pop Ride 66 Chrome Batmobile. So, yeah, a lot of... A lot of crazy Funko exclusives. And apparently, they still have some surprises up their sleeves.
God.
Yeah. So, lots of interesting stuff coming from Funko. And always at San Diego Comic-Con. I remember for a couple years there, Danny and Christina were trying to buy every exclusive. And I think they finally given up.
Oh, they finally given up?
Yep.
That's probably wise.
The Jumbo Star Wars figure exclusive has been announced. It's a... It will be Farm Boy Luke on a Return of the Jedi card.
Okay.
Which is their 2016 convention exclusive. I guess there's a couple of different cards they're doing. Return of the Jedi, a couple of different pictures, like Luke and the...
Well, they switched over. They switched the card. Back in the day, they switched over.
One's the blonde hair and one's the brown hair. Yeah. That's why. Aha.
I caught that at a bad angle.
Yes, that makes sense. Good job, Dave. So that's, again, though, the giant figures... And then the Superpowers jumbo figures are finally happening. I don't know why it's taken them this long, but they shut off the 1/6 scale Batman and Superman prototypes.
I thought they'd already released a few of
those. I thought so too, but they're going to be $80 and limited to 250 pieces a piece.
Okie doke.
Of those Superpowers figures. So, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, they're cool.
Yeah, I more and more I regret not getting into Star Wars when I had the chance.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's for the bat. Oh, no.
I would say you've cherry-picked quite a few, though.
No, I've cherry-picked like 4 of them.
Oh, well. Like, well, it's cherry-picking, though.
I got Boss, and I got the Gamorrean Guard, and then I got Blue Snaggletooth.
Hmm. Because Blue Snaggletooth is awesome.
Well, he's cool, and he's actually cheaper than a lot of the other ones.
Really?
Yeah. I think just because he's an oddball character.
Did you see that... Paramount released Paramount and CBS released because
there've been this big thing
there's been this big thing about Star Trek What was the fan film that got a crap ton of...
I forget.
So there was a lawsuit filed against this fan film group from CBS and Paramount that was basically caused a lot of uproar. And then finally Paramount has decided that they would release guidelines.
Yeah.
To basically allow people to make Star Trek fan films.
Allow, end quote. The rules are so prohibitive.
If you want to learn how to destroy a fandom, turn your face no farther than Paramount CBS. Because these are the worst guidelines ever created.
The counter argument is they didn't have to do this at all.
No, they did.
They could have just been lawsuit McGee and shut everything down.
This is true. Here are the guidelines for avoiding objections. Number one, the fan production must be less than 15 minutes for a single self-contained story, or no more than 2 segments, episodes, or parts, not to exceed 30 minutes total, with no additional seasons, episodes, parts, sequels, or remakes.
Yeah, there is like a thing called Star Trek Continues, I think, yes. Which is like a series.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that has the guy from Mythbusters on it.
Yes. And that is a hugely popular one that apparently they cannot do anymore. Number two, the title of the fan production or any parts cannot include the name Star Trek. However, the title must contain a subtitle with the phrase "a Star Trek fan production" in plain typeface. The fan production cannot use the term "official" in either its title or subtitle or any marketing, promotions, or social media for the fan production. Number three, the content in the fan production must be original, not reproductions, recreations, or clips from any Star Trek production.
That's fair.
That's fair. If non-Star Trek third-party content is used, all necessary permissions for any third-party content should be obtained in writing. Number four, if the fan production uses commercially available Star Trek uniforms, accessories, toys, and props, these items must be official merchandise and not bootleg items or imitations of such commercially available products.
Yeah, that screws over people like Joe Colton, who make their own costumes.
Yes. Number five, the fan production must be a real fan production, i.e. creators, actors, and all other participants must be amateurs, cannot be compensated for their services, and cannot be currently or previously employed on any Star Trek series, film, production, or DVDs, or with any CBS or Paramount Pictures licenses.
And I know that Chekhov and Uhura.
Which immediately ruins a ton of fan stuff, because there were a lot of returning actors in roles that were coming back for these.
But they had Nichelle Nichols and they had Walter Keating in one of these.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of Keening like in the maroon uniform.
Yeah.
Like with a shaved head.
Let's see. Number six, the fan production must be non-commercial. CBS and Paramount Pictures do not object to limited fundraising for the creation of a fan production, whether one or two segments, and consistent with these guidelines, so long as the total amount does not exceed $50,000, including all platform fees. And when the $50,000 goal is reached, all fundraising must cease. The fan production must only be exhibited or distributed on a no-charge basis and or shared via streaming services without generating revenue. The fan production cannot be distributed in a physical format such as DVD or Blu-ray. Fair. The fan production cannot be used to derive advertising revenue, including but not limited to, through, for example, the use of pre- or post-roll advertising, click-through advertising banners that is associated with the fan production. So no monetizing on YouTube. No unlicensed Star Trek related or fan production related merchandise or services can be offered for sale or given away as premiums, perks, or rewards, or in connection with the fan production fundraising. The fan production cannot derive revenue by selling or licensing fan created production sets, props, or costumes. Number seven, the fan production, it just keeps going. The fan production must be family-friendly and suitable for public presentation. Video must not include profanity, nudity, obscenity, pornography, depictions of drugs, alcohol, tobacco.
Have you seen your own Star Trek 4? Double dumbass on you.
Or any harmful or illegal activity or any material that is offensive, fraudulent, defamatory, libelous. Thank you. Disparaging, sexually explicit, threatening, hateful, or any other inappropriate content. The content of the fan production cannot...
Did you see that fan dance in Star Trek V?
Right. The content of the fan production cannot violate any individual's rights or privacy. Number eight, the fan production must display the following disclaimer in the on-screen credits of the fan productions and on any marketing materials, including the fan production website or page hosting the fan production. Star Trek and all related marks, logos, and characters are solely owned by CBS Studio Incorporated. This fan production is not endorsed by, sponsored
again,
by, nor affiliated, yes, with CBS, Paramount Pictures, or the blah, blah, blah. Number nine, creators of fan productions must not seek to register their works, nor any elements of their works under copyright or trademark law. Number 10, fan productions cannot create or imply an association or endorsement by CBS or Paramount Pictures.
That's also why they don't want actors from the thing being on.
CBS and Paramount Pictures reserve the right to revise, revoke, and or withdraw these guidelines at any time in their own discretion. These guidelines are not a license and do not constitute approval or authorization of any fan productions or a waiver of any right that CBS or Paramount Pictures may have with respect to fan fiction created outside of these guidelines. So, again, the argument is they didn't have to do this and could have just stopped all fan productions. The flip side of that is this is the most constrictive set of fan guidelines because Disney even allows fans to still make Star Wars fan films, and their guidelines are nowhere near as constricting as these.
No.
Because Disney is still letting Lucasfilm run all that. People have said, now that CBS and Paramount has done this, you know, if you think this is bad, wait till Disney decides to turn, you know, turn, start turning down fan films. What people fail to realize with that is that Disney, as the main entity, is letting Lucasfilm run on its own still. Yes, they own Lucasfilm, but they are letting Lucasfilm run by itself. Much like, bless me, I know,
goodness gracious.
Much like Pixar does, much like Marvel does, they run on their own entity. Disney does not interfere on a day-to-day basis in those entities. So Lucasfilm continues to allow fan films because that's what they did and that's what they continue to do. But yeah, this is basically how you just stick a big middle finger to your.
Well, I think a lot of these fan films were becoming kind of big.
Oh, not kind of big, huge.
Yeah, well, I don't know about huge, but they were beginning to get big, and I think, you know, Paramount was getting a little jealous, a little jelly.
Yes,
kind of. They're gearing up for their own thing, own stupid show that's going to be on their stupid streaming service,
which is dumb.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I concur.
Yeah, there's been some other interesting news bits. I guess it leaked that next season's DC's Legends of Tomorrow, Albert Einstein will either be... They haven't really revealed if he's just going to be a character that pops up or somewhat of a recurring character.
Okay.
So that's kind of... I thought that was kind of interesting. I was like, oh.
I guess. I mean, they have a time machine.
True. I guess Brendan Routh is prepared to make an appearance on Supergirl. So after that, he will have appeared in all the DC TV shows.
Huh.
And he'll have been the only actor to do so, I guess.
I know there were rumors that Flashpoint might affect Arrow.
Yes. Actress Carly Pope has joined Arrow as Susan Williams, who, if anyone reads the comics, knows that she is the half-sister of Green Lantern in the comics.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
I read comics.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
I know that apparently they're recasting Vixen. I read that somewhere.
I don't know why.
Yeah, she seemed fine.
She did.
Maybe it's a Flashpoint thing.
Maybe. I guess Phil Lord and Chris Miller have said that the Lego Batman movie is full of references, pretty much like a 90-minute Easter egg.
Well, yeah, I would assume so.
Yes. That cracks me up. It's like, yeah. They did cast a Superman for Supergirl.
Yeah. It was some guy from something. It was bigger news at the time.
So, the other big thing that happened this past week is, I don't know if the issue's been released yet, but it leaked. Steve Rogers, Captain America issue 2 has leaked. And if anyone remembers listening to the show, we talked about how the world lost their crap. Because at the end of that issue, Steve Rogers just says "Hail Hydra."
Well,
after he pushed out
The whole issue sets that moment up.
Yes,
it talks about his past and his mom being approached by a Hydra agent. And if you remember, I went on this whole spiel about how I would have done it, which was to have kind of the reveal early on.
Yes,
and I think in a way that's what they did. They just had the first issue and then they did the reveal.
Yes,
as opposed to drawing it out to like the end of the storyline. But yes, we do know what the deal is.
Yes, we do.
And it's exactly what everybody who's been paying any attention to this thought it was.
Yep.
Which is, it was this Cosmic Cube.
It was the Cosmic Cube character.
Well, there's a Cosmic Cube that's become a sentient person, which is apparently what cosmic cubes do.
It's a shard of the cosmic cube, I guess.
I don't know, because one of them became the Beyonder, who was actually a mutant inhuman, and
yes.
did the, I don't know. The Illuminati stuff gets confusing. But point being that, yes, there's a cosmic cube or a shard of a cosmic cube that's a girl that they were using in another storyline. Apparently the Red Skull kind of manipulated her into changing Captain America's
yes.
So, thing. So yeah, it's a cosmic shenanigans. He's not been a Nazi all along.
Nope. He
and he will be not Nazified soon.
So yeah, it was all revealed that it was just spoiler alert for anyone.
Spoiler alert for the most obvious thing in the history exactly. of forever.
For anyone that's been reading comics for decades and decades knows that, surprise, surprise, creative writing.
Look, if you care enough about this thing to be following it at all, then you've probably heard this. So
yes. Dude, it's just...
Whatever, it's the internet, man.
But I just want to say, told you so.
told you so specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
Like specific beats.
This is what's going to happen.
You told them so, like, in general. Like, oh, yeah, he's not going to be a Nazi for... I was like, it's going to be the cube.
Yep.
If I were doing it, I would reveal it, like, A, yeah. they revealed it, B, you know.
Yep. And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that yesterday and I'm being like, why did everyone flipping out?
And then someone, was it Irizarry? Someone posted a thing like, oh, yeah, good call there, Chief. You know, yeah. a little sarcastically, and I was like... Well, actually, you know, enough people lost their stuff.
Yeah.
Their stuffing over this that I do think it was a good call.
Yeah. The other thing I've been doing is I got a little bit of an advanced sneak peek at the Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition, which is actually about an hour longer, I think, than the actual film.
Ooh, good.
Maybe not an hour, but it's like 3 hours and like 18 minutes or something like that. And it's actually surprising that there's an amount of things in there. Like,
I was surprised. I asked you if it made it better sarcastically, and you said, "Yeah, actually, kind of does."
It does. You know, in the original film, like the photographer that's with Lois when she's in the Middle East,
yeah, Jimmy Olsen,
never even gets named in the film. Like, we never learned his name in the actual theatrical release.
No, just in the credits.
Yeah, later we're like, "Oh, Jimmy Olsen's dead. That killed Jimmy Olsen." Wow. In this, he actually does reveal that he is Jimmy Olsen. He tells her, you know, I'm Jimmy Olsen, blah, blah, blah. There's even... When Jimmy's killed in the film, it's revealed that the CIA are monitoring the interview via satellite, and they're sending in troops in for damage control. So the operative in the field who takes point is referred to only as Python, and the man who was killed was dubbed Talon. What's interesting, though, is that the figure known as Talon was introduced by Scott Snyder as part of the acclaimed Court of Owls storyline that drew eyes to Batman Comics in the New 52. And Python, he's a DC Comics villain who just happens to make his debut in Sandman. So there's like a lot of more Easter eggs than this.
Okay, this is an audio medium, so you can't see the disgusted / shocked. I mean, okay, wow, yeah. Obscure guy gets the... Wow, I mean, I wouldn't have even known that. I read the Batmans. Oh no, a Court of Owls guy was in that stupid pointless desert scene. Wow, that's amazing. The whole film is completely different now. Was his mother's name Martha?
I haven't got to the part. There are the Mother Boxes part, which we've seen.
Which apparently is a big part of Justice League.
Yes. So we did see that.
But what you told me was that what really made it better was that Luthor has motivation.
Oh, God, there's so much motivation in this.
Yeah, they explain Luthor. What Luthor's doing and why he's doing it.
That whole plot line through the first hour of the film, up until when the Senate explodes, basically, you start to see the beats laid out, and you start to see how Luthor has been manipulating everything. And people start to discover, like... Especially the senator played by what's her face?
Holly Hunter.
Yes, she finally pieces it together right before she's dramatically blown up.
She did that in the movie too, but
yeah. But there's more. There was more to it. There was more meat to all of that that made you go, oh, all right, I get it now. So that was kind of very interesting to watch.
Well, I'm gonna get it when it comes on the DVDs. Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I'm going to finish watching the end of it tonight because I was getting right to the point of the Batman Superman fight for the first time.
Yeah,
like well, not the first time, the second time, the armor fight. And an explosion happened, and Carrie from the other side of the bed rolled over and went, "Loud, go to bed." Like, okay, good night. So that's. I was looking forward to that, and it's surprisingly, I was like, it's not bad. And also, Game of Thrones ended this past week. That's sixth season?
I think so, yeah.
And apparently, boy, did it end with a bang, from what I hear. Yeah,
literally.
I do not follow the show, but I've heard things that make me go, huh, all right.
Yeah, apparently they're done piddling around, and they're just getting stuff into gear for the finale.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
They got like 15 episodes left,
yes, I think. Yes, something like 15 or 17. AMC renewed Preacher.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which for 13 episode, which is awesome because the first six are on my DVR and I have not watched them yet.
Okay,
I need to watch them. So that's kind of looking forward to that.
I haven't watched it. I haven't not watched it.
Yeah.
I heard good things about the comic.
Yeah, the comic was good. I read the comic when it first came out. It was you know. Impressed and had a lot of fun with it, but I have not watched the show yet. But everyone that's watched the show said it's different from the comic, but
I've heard that
it's really good.
Okay,
so I'm looking forward to seeing it. So one of these days I'll sit down and watch it. we answer some fan questions.
Okay, I have a quick little
yes,
story.
Yes, no,
tell.
Go ahead. Still, quick tell story. Away, tell away.
Funny little story. I got a text the other day from Danny.
Oh, Pixel Dan.
Pixel Dan.
Yeah.
And he was at this convention this weekend.
Too Many Games.
Too Many Games.
Yes.
Apparently a fan came up and asked him, is Dave really as grumpy and mean as...
Really?
Yes. And Dan said, well, he is a grump, but he's actually very nice.
Yes.
And apparently he said very nice things about me. Yes. Which was very nice of him.
Well, I mean, Dan does think highly of you.
I know. Well, it was very touching for him to say that. And then he was like, don't tell Jason nobody asked about him. And I said, I cannot make that promise.
Yeah, you know what, I always make a big deal, like I always joke with Danny, because Danny's so damn popular.
Yeah.
And I do joke, I don't take it personally when people are like, can I get, you know, when people are like, oh, I love you guys, can I get my picture taken with Pixel Dan? And I'm like, that's funny though. Of course,
no one asked. It was doubly funny for me because just that day I was talking to my housemate, Tracy, who I guess sees this completely different side of me. Because, you know, I'm talking about how I have this persona as this grump. And she's like, I do not see that at all.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at her and she's like, is that supposed to be your grumpy face?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but she just doesn't buy into this whole grumpy, angry old Dave.
She's not buying into your grumpy shit.
And then I get the text from Danny like, you know. So fast. Were you really that grumpy and mean?
That is awesome.
So that was cute.
That makes my day. Is Dave really that grumpy and mean? No, ladies and gentlemen, Dave is grumpy. He is a big teddy bear.
Sometimes I'm grumpy.
Yeah, sometimes he can be, sometimes he's a handful.
Sometimes I feel like I'm a toddler. I want to throw something at you.
Meh.
Yeah. want my animal crackers.
Want my animal cracker, damn it now. No, but Dave's a big teddy bear.
Sure.
Don't let him fool you. He's a big huggable teddy bear. Big old hug of
you
guy.
You did give me a hug. You came in and gave me a big hug.
You were having a bad day yesterday, and I thought maybe you needed a hug.
I was kind of having a down day, and I watched the new season of, not the new, but I hadn't
seen. The latest season of.
Second season of Rick and Morty, which is a show that I really loved the first season.
Which apparently, the second season apparently caused you great mental anguish.
Well, it's not that it caused me great mental anguish. It just didn't help my mood.
No.
But,
because you're like, I'm even more depressed now. This sucks.
Well, yeah, the ending was like super depressing. And Rick and Morty kind of walks that line between real dark comedy, but usually in the first season there are always these little sprinkles of humanity,
right?
That, you know, gave you a little bit of hope to go on,
right?
You know, the second season it ends on a cliffhanger, but it ends on this really super dark, depressing cliffhanger, And you're like, geez. And then the season itself was not as good.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm really afraid we're... Because a lot of people that work on this show worked on Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm really afraid we're going down that route of the... You start referencing earlier episodes all the time.
Yep.
Because they actually did another one. Like, one of the best episodes of season one is they get... Rick messes with their cable box, so they get all these interdimensional cable channels.
Right.
And it was all improvised.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the dialogue was improvised. It was all crazy and random. Because it's like us trying to improvise stuff. So it's like, I am selling these mattresses, and I have ants living in my eyes. I don't know why I have ants living in my eyes. I have ants. They're in my eyes. Oh, my God. Like, just crazy random stuff. Well, they do that again, and they even reference the fact that it's an inferior take on a previous, episode. They make that joke, and I'm like, nice. Well, that's, you, yeah, you, that, lampshading it like that does not make it better.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, it wasn't as good. They had a good one with Stephen Colbert, which was funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a funny one, because it was like, Rick powers his space car with this universe that he's built in this little box. And he kind of went in, he shrunk himself, went into the universe, and tricked them into like generating electricity.
Right.
That's all they do is they generate electricity. Mm. Well, in that universe, then all of a sudden the power stops. That's because in that little universe, there's a scientist played by Stephen Colbert who built a little universe and tricked the people there to create energy for right. his universe. So then they all go into that universe, and that guy's working on creating a universe.
Oh my God.
And then they end up getting trapped because Colbert and Rick hate each other, so they end up getting trapped in that like fourth generation universe that's still like caveman times.
Oh my gosh!
And then it's like a race to get back to like the real universe. And
I need to watch that show sometime.
You would I mean it's the premise is it's a messed up take on Doc and Marty from
yeah I knew that
except there's no time travel. Right. They specifically said they will never do time travel.
Right. So I knew that because I knew there was also that. A couple seasons ago, Simpsons opened up with Rick and Morty, like,
did they?
Killing the Simpsons on accident. I'll have to show you that clip.
Oh, there's this, in the first season, there's this amazing episode, which it's one of those highlights that you just can never top, where they literally destroy their world. Like, they just destroy and make everybody in their world a monster. And in the end, what they do is they just literally, Rick and Morty, go to another universe where, at the beginning of the episode, they would have screwed up and gotten themselves killed. Right at the moment that everything started. So literally, Rick and Morty kill themselves because they screw up.
Right.
And then Rick and Morty come into that universe and just basically move in like nothing happened. And just don't do what they did.
I love it. That's spectacular.
And then it comes up later because like Summer's all depressed about something. In the later episode, Summer's all depressed about something. And Morty goes, you see that lump in the yard? That's my grave. We died in this universe. And we're from another universe that we destroyed and we moved in. So if you think your life is hard.
Oh my gosh.
But it's just like, wow. I mean, they just went there.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. And now, having sort of babbled about stuff.
Well, yes. Let's answer some fan questions. First one is from...
One more thing.
Yeah.
Is this one from Floorburger?
Yes.
Well, you know what today is?
What? Oh, today is Floorburger's birthday! Yay!
Happy birthday, Floorburger.
Wow. We did that perfectly, and that wasn't practiced at all.
No, because I forgot about it until just this moment.
That was not practiced at all.
It really wasn't.
No. Happy birthday, Floorburger.
Happy birthday, Josh.
We're happy that you're celebrating Womb Liberation Day.
Sure, why not?
Yes. Happy Womb Liberation Day. Viva la placenta!
That's weird.
Just read
the questions.
I meant to say viva la afterbirth, but I forgot what
that's
I was going to say.
That's even creepier and
yeah,
weird.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it's the same thing anyway, really,
yeah,
technically.
Pretty much, kind
of. I'm not, I don't know this stuff.
Floorburger goes on to say, G.I. Joe related questions after JoeCon. Number one, was there a point either of you felt that the G.I. Joe line jumped to the shark? I've heard the animated movie and the 87 series from the older collectors, and I've heard the 91 Eco Force line as well.
Jump the shark kind of means like a real specific one-shot moment. I think it was more of a gradual... I think between 85 and 87, there was a period of decline.
Yes.
You know, I think 85 was like the height. I think, you know, you can just tell when the neon colors start coming in, the vehicles stop looking like they could be real-world vehicles and start being weird, clunky.
Start being weird, oddball.
Again, neon-colored things. I think that's when you can kind of tell that it was losing.
Oh, losing steam quick, yeah. Man. Like, losing steam bad.
And when they went, I mean, as much as I love the space stuff, when they really doubled down on going into space, as opposed to, like, you know, launching a shuttle like we do in reality, but, like, you know, going into space and fighting aliens.
Right.
Like, they when they broke into too many sub-teams, I think, is but, yeah, it wasn't, like, one specific... I'm sure a lot of fans can point to, like, Cobra Law as like, the shark-jumping moment, but, you know, that was never in the comic, so...
Right.
That's my answer to the first part.
To the first part? The second part... Speaking of Ego Force, it seemed like the JoeCon exclusives for Ego Force weren't well met. Was there any reason mentioned?
People don't like Ego Force?
Yeah, pretty much.
And that set was weird. That concept was weird. They tried to split the baby. Because they had Ego Force, and then they had more, like, Walking Dead.
Yes.
You know, because the whole thing was a zombie outbreak. That was the theme. So, like, half the set was, like, these kind of, like, gritty... You know, gritty versions of the characters with, you know, pickaxes and blah blah blah, and the other half were brightly colored, Eco Force guys. And
it's pretty rough to look at.
And even though people kind of vote on what sets they want, there's a questionnaire in the it's a questionnaire you turn in every convention, like, you know, what three themes do you want?
Yes.
And people vote. People voted for Eco Force, but it just was never that popular. I mean, those are JoeCon figures you can actually get
cheap.
I mean, it's weird because, like, as much as Sky Patrol got Shade. Like, those figures are going for all the money right now on the eBays.
Yep. And number three, what's the most ridiculous or obscure Joe you would love to see get a modern update? Once I saw Robo Joe had received an unofficial update for a custom class at JoeCon, I've been hoping for more obscure Joes getting revived.
Well, Robo Joe, again, was not official.
Yeah.
They're doing Raptor in the subscription service.
He does say an unofficial update.
Yeah, I know. They're doing Raptor in the subscription service.
Which is super obscure.
Not obscure, like stupid. Well,
stupid, yes.
Stupid.
Stupid crazy.
Yeah, that was probably the most ridiculous character.
I can't put this box of toys down.
Apparently not. I think Raptor was probably the one that, like, of all the really bad characters, Raptor was the one that I had my fingers crossed for.
Yes, and Dave...
I'd like Crystal... Yeah, because we talked about that in the last show, that once they announced that, I was like, fudge.
Dave was like, oh, man, now I gotta subscribe.
Nah, I gotta, like... Find $400 somewhere.
Yes. Dave was not a happy camper.
I was not, really. To be perfectly honest, I wasn't. I had mixed feelings.
Yeah, that's
let's put it that way. I had mixed feelings about that.
That's one of those things when Dave saw it, he was just like, damn it.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but I will.
Crystal Ball would be another one. If they did an official Robo Joe, I would love that.
Crystal Ball would be nuts. I don't know if that's a figure that we'll ever, ever, ever see.
They almost kind of made him cool in the IDW series.
Really?
They really doubled down on the creepy Rasputin thing, and it actually worked.
It actually worked.
I think doubling down on that element of the character, like really playing up the, you know, the gypsy, creepy magician thing.
Yeah,
I think that worked ball. as opposed to kind of walking that line between a G.I. Joe superhero and it kind of worked.
Oh, another Magneto piece.
Oh, yeah.
I keep finding parts, and I'm like, here, Dave, put this in the box.
So what's the next question, Jason?
The next question is from our buddy Buzz, Ryan Buzzy. He says, tell me about Mythic Legions and how the Four Horsemen are the greatest toy designers on the effing planet. Okay. You know, I never got into those.
I didn't either.
Never got into that line.
Not my scale.
It's not Dave's scale. It was something when they announced those and they started to come out. Was something I didn't have the money to get into. Like, I think they're amazing. I know they're starting to ship now, and people are receiving them. I know Buzz got a bunch of them, and that's why he's...
I would assume that's why he's pimping them.
Yeah, he's pimping them hard because of that. They look amazing. I mean, I do think that the Horsemen are some phenomenal toy designers. They always have been.
Oh, yeah, they're extraordinarily. I mean, yeah, they're undeniably some of the most talented people working in the business.
I will continue to throw shade at them until they finally release the friggin' rest of the Power Lords figures they promised that they still have never gone back and done, which makes me very sad because I really, 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 really want Psydot and I want the rest of the newer characters they showed off. But again, I guess, you know, that line did not sell well. And still continues to not sell well.
Yeah, it was pretty obscure.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. So, you know, that makes me sad that we'll never get to see the remainder of that line released, at least in our lifetime. Again.
Okay, that's a just scary thought.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Jonathan Cornelius says, hey guys, love the show. I recently bought my first Ghostbuster Diamond Select figure and absolutely loved it. Are there any chances of getting the girls this line or even a ton of ghosts like the Librarian? And how far do you see this line going? I know that they're... Diamond has guaranteed that they'll release, what, 16 figures? 17 figures?
No idea.
I know
not following this at all.
They will release as many figures as it takes to release that diorama set. Which is the rooftop?
Yeah, the rooftop.
So you will get however many figures are doing for that. Whatever they decide to do beyond that, I don't know. It depends on how well those sell because they're selling them two different ways. They're selling them at Toys R Us for $20,
wow.
$15, and then in comic shops with the diorama piece, they're like $40 a pop.
Wow.
Yeah. So it really does depend on how well those sell, but hopefully. We'll see some more.
They sell pretty well at Toys R Us. I'll say that.
Yeah, they do.
I think all they've got is Dana.
Yeah, they sell it pretty. And what an awful Dana. It's not even a good Dana figure. Robert Hardefield says, with all the new Transformers stuff beginning to hit the store shelves, which characters are you most interested in and why?
Trypticon.
Trypticon's a big one.
Because he's a big dinosaur.
Yep.
That is my answer to that question.
Trypticon's a big one. I've started to see reviews. I know Optibotomus has done reviews for Power Master Prime and for Blaster. The Blaster figure looks amazing. I'll probably get him. I don't know about Power Master Prime, but I might get some of the others, like Cherry Pick, like I did with the Combiner Wars stuff.
Okay.
Here and there. But I think it's great. I'd love... I've seen early reviews of Fort Max, and he looks amazing. But again, I think that's a figure that's going to be out of my price range for a while.
Probably.
But he's cool looking. I mean, he's just a giant Fort Max, which is awesome, so... Simon James says, are you guys impressed by the San Diego Comic-Con reveals so far? Are any a definite must-have? I'm a Funko collector, so I'm doomed.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you are. We covered that earlier.
Yes, we did.
It was nice knowing you.
Yes. It was nice knowing your wallet.
I have been kind of unimpressed this year.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, I don't know the Star Wars, and then the Marvel stuff is...
Up in the air right now.
Kind of up in the air. I mean, yeah. we know what it is, but... The Joe set, just an easy pass for me.
Yeah, which
really
was...
Really easy pass for me.
Which was surprising, but understandable.
It's just another Rattler, Power Glide, who I don't care about.
And yeah.
The Histank and Shockwave was,
yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll find that on eBay sometime, or, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, easy pass. I mean, really, the only thing that really has caught my imagination is the Turtle set from NECA.
Yes.
I think that was just a really cool...
It's a very
NECA
cool
does
set.
A good job, and it was cool that they got it.
Yeah.
And then it's from the video game, which I really liked.
Yeah.
You know, the Mattel stuff, I don't... my housemate really wants the Barbie as Wonder Woman. Beyond that, I don't care. I know the multiverse Wonder Woman is actually the Infinite Earths Wonder Woman from
that they've already done
the Starro
set. Starro set.
And then I think we talked about the kits on an earlier episode, how I feel that's not a good move on their part to do the Thunder kits.
Right.
To me, that tells me that they're not planning on being in this for the long haul.
Right, exactly.
That they're just trying to get as much of these characters out as fast as they can.
Yep, which is sad.
And then I don't know. I don't even know what the Masters is.
There is no Masters of the Universe exclusive this year.
Oh, wow. That's like the first time ever.
There's the She-Ra Barbie. Well, the first time since 2007.
Okay.
But there's the She-Ra Barbie.
Yeah.
But that's as close as we get. There's
yeah, but
no
that's,
classics,
that's like Skeletor Baby. It's not.
There's no Classics exclusive this year.
Wow.
So, yeah. That's what I said, too. I was like, wow, that's surprising.
That is.
Yeah. So, like I said, first time since 2007. It's almost been 10 years since that line
started. That's how that line started with Grayskull.
Yeah. So it's almost been 10 years, and that's the first time in almost 10 years we do not have a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive for Masters Classics.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm just basically sitting here with my fingers crossed that the Star Wars one sucks.
So Dave can just be like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. I'll just get the small Marvel one on eBay.
Yeah.
Get my Lockjaw.
And then what about the 6-inch one, though, if they... No,
I'm gonna have. I mean, yeah, they're cool characters, but I'm gonna have to pass.
Yeah. Alexis Lasik says, "Let's go old school." What was your favorite cartoon and toy line as a kid? I don't know Dave's favorite cartoon as a kid was the City of Lost Gold.
Yeah,
you loved that.
City of Lost Gold isn't even a thing.
No, what the hell was that?
Thundar the Barbarian.
Was it Thundar?
As a kid, yeah.
Well, I know you raised.
You're thinking of Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Yeah,
which was a live action TV show.
Well, it was a live action TV show.
It was a live action TV show. Yeah, they were trying to like rip off Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, I did not know that. I did not know that.
And it's basically like a live action Tailspin.
Oh,
but not as good. Oh no, that's where that plane he has the sea duck.
Yeah,
yeah, he's got the plane, and he's in the Pacific during World War II, or right before World War II.
I did not know that.
Roddy McDowell is the King Louie character.
Wow.
Oh no! Like it's and he's got a little cute little dog with one eye.
It's basically live action Tailspin.
It's live action Tailspin.
Wow. From the '70s.
From the '80s, early '80s.
Was it early '80s?
Yeah. No. When Tailspin came on when I was in college, I was like, "It's Tales of the Gold Monkey."
Wow.
That's funny. And then toy line Star Wars. Derp.
Yeah.
So, what was your favorite cartoon and your favorite TV?
My favorite cartoon, believe it or not, was Inspector Gadget. I loved.
That doesn't surprise me.
I loved coming home from. I remember being in kindergarten through probably fourth grade. I'd get home at 3:30 every day, and Inspector Gadget would be coming on. I'd sit down and watch Inspector Gadget. So I watched Inspector Gadget a lot. Inspector Gadget and Danger Mouse. I loved
Danger Mouse. Was great. Yeah. I have not seen those toys at our Toys R Us.
No, which is sad because I want them.
Blows.
At least I want a tenfold. Favorite toy line as a kid? As a kid. Was G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Because I had so much of it. I loved Masters, but I had so much G.I. Joe stuff. Like, I had a duffel bag full of Joe stuff when I was a kid, which, you know, a bunch of figures, vehicles, planes. Yeah. I had tons of it. So, I loved Joe when I was a kid.
So you were a cool kid, and then you became a dork.
Yeah, I became a dork. And people always ask me, why don't you collect Joe now? It's just too much of it as a vintage collector. It's just, Dave can attest to that. There's so much of it.
Joe is right at that sweet spot for me.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of it to collect. But it does kind of end, you know?
Yeah.
Well, as Transformers is madness.
Oh,
I can't go down that rabbit
Transformers
hole.
Transformers is frightening. Alex Pasquale says, what are some milestones or rites of passage you've observed or experienced yourself in collecting? Would you say there are common phases or stages that collectors go through? He goes on to say, definitely some back and forth, but personally feel I've gone through stages of casually collecting familiar vintage stuff from our childhood, to concentrating on more modern retail stuff, to starting to dabble into some higher-end collectibles, to even just taking a break from collecting as well. Milestones and rite of passages.
I don't know if they're universal or not. I mean, I can see what he's talking about in my life, but I don't know that they necessarily correspond.
Right.
Because there was a brief period right after college where I started doing vintage Star Wars.
Yes.
And then that went right into Power of the Force 2.
Literally right into it.
Literally, yeah. Because, you know. And then then they'd start doing the new G.I. Joe stuff, mm-hmm. the 25th. And then I got into that. And then that kind of got me into with you guys. And I started doing more of the old G.I. Joe. And then that sort of, you know. And then somewhere along the way, Marvel Legends kind of happened.
Yep.
And then Marvel Universe happened.
Yeah.
And then it became like, hey, I'll get all this old stuff, that, you know, because it's just kind of, now I'm the toy guy, and this is my thing, and I'm building a museum.
Basically. A museum that will one day probably be liquidated.
After I die.
After Dave dies.
The discussion has been had. I need to get a will. And just,
yep.
Everything's getting sold.
Yep. I get a feeling my name will be attached to that somehow. I leave it all to Jason.
Well, no, Tracy, like you, Tracy assumes that she's just going to roll in and take over everything. But well, she'll let you help.
I was pretty much, I thought we'd had this conversation.
You've had this conversation.
Oh, fair enough.
Where you think you're going to roll in and take over everything.
Boo. I would make your estate so much more money.
Well, that's why she's going to let you help.
Oh, I see.
Get your pick of things.
Get my pick of things. milestones and rites of passage. I don't know. I've always, like, there was a phase where I was buying newer stuff, you know, in my teens and my early 20s. And then I moved away from that and started to buy vintage probably even before that new toy smell started. Which that's going on almost 10 years now that started, it seems. Almost. I've gone through some little bits and pieces of rites of passage. Milestones were finishing Filmation Ghostbusters and Robin Hood Prince, like oddball stuff like Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, Police Academy, like,
yeah,
those to me are huge collecting milestones where I'm just like, you know, I can stop looking at eBay for this stuff and going, no.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I pushed for that Captain Harris so hard, because I knew that was...
Oh, yeah.
I knew that was a big thing for you, and I knew, you know, I wanted you to get that.
Yeah. That was a huge deal. And then, of course, the Ghost Command playset was a huge deal. So, yeah, I just... I think those were major milestones. There was a time where I came very close to just stopping collecting.
There have been a couple times. Yeah. You know, right now we're kind of in a slow period for you, at least.
For me, yeah. I mean,
External factors for that.
There are.
And I think there were external factors. There've always been external factors. It's been based on other things affecting your mood. Yeah. Or just not being able to. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, right now it's a point where I'm kind of weeding through some of the collection I have, and not getting rid of stuff that like I want to keep. But there's like outlying stuff that I'm like, I don't even know why I really have this. Like, it needs to go. So
yeah.
I've been making piles of stuff for Toyman. Dave actually poked through one of those piles recently and snagged a few figures out from the pile. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those things.
I'll get some spare indie figures. Why the heck not?
Why the heck not? Christopher Haywood says, after searching around on the internet, I've noticed that there are not any Highlander toys except for the short-lived mediocre cartoon series. Do you guys know if there are any companies that have made toys based on the movies? Yes, Real Toys, NECA.
And then people answered it.
Yes, Ryan Buzzy.
Yeah. You know, these are our fan questions. Yeah. thanks for interfering with the show.
Yeah, NECA made a box set of
Highlander versus Kurgan.
Their Scottish look. You know, the I'm trying to think of what they're actually called in that, but the medieval box set. They did a set for Highlander, and that's about it. There's never been really a toy line based on the original film series at all. Just the cartoon, which kind of sucks because the cartoon was not great. But yeah, I mean, there's been...
No, it was not.
There's been bits and pieces of the licensed stuff, like the swords have been licensed out and stuff. There's some collectible stuff, but toys, it's a different story. So
I think Hot Toys did them too, or either Hot Toys or one of those Japanese
Sideshow
companies.
I think.
Not Sideshow, but before Hot Toys was a thing, there were Japanese companies that did the Hot Toys thing.
Right.
So I think it was either Hot Toys or some other Japanese company.
Let's see if Hot Toys did a Highlander.
Or Hong Kong company.
Yeah, it was. There are some 12-inch Highlander figures. Sideshow actually did them.
Oh, I'll be dipped in Dougie spit.
They were Sideshow collectibles figures.
I did not know that.
And it was
weird, wild stuff.
It was old school Sideshow, so it wasn't any good.
Oh.
Like, the face sculpts were really bad.
Harsh.
Yeah, they were the kind of terrible figures. They did quite a few figures. Sideshow wise through the years of different versions of Connor. I think there's a Kurgan floating around somewhere out there. But yeah, there's a handful of stuff, but nothing terrible.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Andrew Cornelius says, hi guys, I know you guys open all your toys, but is there any line you can't bring yourself to open? I've just started to open 20 years worth of collecting, but can't bring myself to open my Palisades Muppets because they look beautiful on the cards.
My thing is, I've developed this, and I mentioned on the show before, usually the last thing that I get from a line, because it's usually the most expensive.
Yes.
I leave on the card.
Yeah.
Partly because it's expensive and I don't want to open it, and partly now I have the one thing on the card to show off what the packaging looks like, and I kind of like that. So basically, if something's really expensive, I'll leave it on the card, and then I'll usually like leave one thing from the line on the card.
Yep. I open everything, pretty much. I can't think of anything I bought sealed recently that I haven't opened.
Yeah. Well, I open almost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
But yeah, I don't think anymore I don't leave anything on card and package.
The one exception to that is the Four Horsemen's Outer Spaceman line, which I do love. I love the packaging.
Yes, the packaging for that's beautiful.
So I left that stuff on the
card. I have packaging for a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, I keep I keep boxes.
I kept all my vintage packaging stuff that I have, so yeah. I've got card backs and boxes and all that stuff. But pretty much anything I buy vintage, I open. If it's boxed, I open it just because.
Yeah, I open it. I keep the file card. Yep. I keep the backer cards. Yep. I keep vintage boxes.
So some good stuff there, man. Good stuff. Well, good fan questions, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for pumping them out this week.
Yeah, absolutely awesome stuff. I'm glad to always happy to answer fan questions. Always happy to for those to start some mini discussions, which are always fun. Good stuff, good stuff. Dave and I will be back next week with an all-new show.
Sure, why
not? Hopefully we'll have some more tales of Jay's massive...
Jay's massive.
...toy, what you would look at and think a junk pile, but are there some great little stuff in here, so...
Oh, yeah, we've dug up some gems. Yeah.
And some stuff that I'm like, what does this go to?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
That's fun, watching Jason go into...
Yeah, and as I'm sitting here, I think I know what a bunch of these pieces go to now. As I'm sitting here looking at them, I'm like, I think I know what those go to. And I was right. It's a RoboForce weapon.
Okay.
It goes to Blazer the Igniter. Just sure, this why little, not? Yeah, I know, right? And then
they have swords.
No, but this goes to Vulgar the Destroyer. This is his little
I don't know.
Dave's
it's like a little stalactite.
No, it's a little drill. It goes in his hand.
It's a drill. Goes, boop.
That's what those went to. Okay, I knew they looked friggin' familiar, and I'm like, what are those? Why can't I not figure this out? Yeah, that's what they go to. So, there you go, gang.
Yes.
we'll be back next
week. Having redisposed of the monster.
That's right. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Make sure you check out our sponsors, Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shelleheadcomics.com. Check them out. Give them some love. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder. Hit subscribe, mash the like button. Check out all we have there to offer and so much more. Yeah, moosh it. And gang, like I said, we'll be back next week. So until next time, David.
Keep playing. Wait.
Wow.
What? Who? When?
Your other catchphrase.
Get off my lawn?
No, your other catchphrase.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
There you go, guys. Take care. The toy bar, peeps, is closed.
There was an onion tied to my belt.
That's right.
That was the fashion at the time.
That was the fashion at the time. Peace out, home skillets.